And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew chapter 26, verses 40 and 41. Hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Monday night watch and pray night, but we have an added bonus, and it's Pastor Fred's teaching. So let me check to make sure he's here, and he is here. So hello, Pastor Fred.
Hello, John. How's everybody?
Good, good. And your voice is much better than last week.
Oh, good, good. I think it's getting better at all the time each day. Praise God.
Yeah, I could tell a little, whatever you want to call it there, but it's not like last week it was pretty bad. So, well, we're glad you're here. And did you get a chance to look at the emails I sent you?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Yeah.
You want me to discuss it now or to talk about it another time?
No, we'll talk about it another time. Okay, let me open with a word of prayer, and Father, we thank you for this time together, Lord. We thank you for your word. And it's a nice night tonight, Lord. We have Pastor Fred's teaching, and then we have a watch and pray, Lord, open-ended prayer time. So we thank you for this. I ask that everybody would greatly be blessed, and that our spiritual ears would be open. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And whatever we do in this ministry is under the blood of the everlasting covenant that you made with us on Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
So what's your topic, Mr. Fred?
Well, there's two things that I dealt with in church on Sunday. So I'll deal with those. One is in chapter 3 of John, the book of John, the first 12 verses, on a particular thing. I don't know why the Holy Spirit wanted, but I had a couple of new people come, and I think it was meant for them. Plus, there was another topic that I cover, so I'll do that too. The topic is, a nation is only as good as its fathers. A nation is only as good as its fathers. Just a short little something on both of those. But a question to you, John. In the book of John, is there a historical description of the baptism of Jesus like it is in the other three Gospels?
No.
What is it then? John is just in chapter 1 talking about giving more information, actually, but just describing the Lamb of God.
Yes.
Once or twice, actually twice, and twice talking about he sees the Spirit descending from heaven. But you don't actually, and he's talking about baptizing in water, about him baptizing in water. That's in that first chapter. But he just, makes clear that the Lord Jesus is the one who baptizes in the Holy Ghost. It's interesting how you assume that, when you read that he is talking about the baptism of Jesus. But it's only because we know the historical record in the other three that it actually happened, even though he describes many different things. But and the other interesting thing, it was just you pick these things up. You see, you've been reading this all your life, and then you wonder why you don't see these things when you were much younger. You probably did, but you just don't remember. But the passage we're going to go to is John 3, where Nicodemus comes to Jesus. I'll read the scriptures, John chapter 3. The point that I believe that the Lord wanted me to make was the seriousness of the spiritual aspect of our salvation. We rely so much on what we feel and what we and the fact that we believe. But let's just read it anyway. And the other part that I wanted to emphasize, which many of us don't, many Christians don't relate their salvation to something that is now on this earth. I can't explain it completely, but I know that so many do not, they hold to the fact that they have eternal life through Jesus Christ in the distant future, and they don't hold on to the spiritual aspect of being alive in the kingdom of God on this day and in this day and age in which they live, and therefore they're not motivated to go into all the world and preach the gospel. They're not motivated to believe that there is spiritual power and the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus. If you're not thinking and believing that you're part of the kingdom, and that kingdom is now, then you kind of say, well, it's okay. When I get to heaven, I can get involved with the kingdom. But no, we're involved with the kingdom while we're here on earth, especially if we're a born-again child of God. Let's read it anyhow. Let's pray first. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come and share your word. It's always so precious, and we thank you in Jesus' name. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, and that no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell when it cometh and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? It's the second time he's asking the question. Jesus answered, said unto him, Are you a master of Israel? He was probably in the Sanhedrin. And knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that we do know and testify what we have seen and perceive not, and you receive not our witness. He's saying, you're not believing me. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? A couple of things in this, just as a reminder. One, to take the spiritual aspect of your rebirth very seriously, because it is part of a spiritual kingdom that we belong to, and we belong to that spiritual kingdom now. Two things the Lord says to Nicodemus was, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So if you are born again, you will see the kingdom of God. In other words, you will understand it, you'll know it, you'll see it. And then he says it the second time in verse 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So you can't enter into it. You can't see it and you can't enter into it. And so often we don't teach enough to people who are church people who feel that they're born again, that he's talking about the kingdom of God, which starts now when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, and that it is part of the life that you live now. That's your living part of the kingdom of God. You see the kingdom of God. And then you enter the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is the power of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we've been given. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's not just something in the dim, dark, distant future that one day I shall have eternal life. But there's something that happens within our spirit. And it's very real. It's whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, and his spirit comes alive. And you have a spirit that has been made alive. You've been given life. Now, the point that I'm trying to make is in verse 12, if I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? So when Jesus says you got to be born again, or else you won't see the kingdom of God. That's this earth. He's saying, I'm talking about earthly things here. And in the verse, that was in verse 3. And then in verse 5, he says it again. Unless and except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So there is an entrance into the kingdom of God, and there is a seeing, an understanding that you are in the kingdom of God. Now, when he says in verse 5, and John could explain this far better than me, but except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, you know, naturally, if you've had any children, when the mother who is about to have the baby, the water breaks. And, you know, oh, we better go to the hospital, or we better go and be prepared for a birth here. That's the natural understanding of that. Or you can take the interpretation that except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, in other words, born of water, the word is quite often resembles the water, is a symbol of the water. And so it's the word of God and the Spirit of God, which allows us to enter into the kingdom of God. So all I'm saying is that in this, there's much more in this, but the two things that we need to understand is that we have a spirit, and that spirit life is very important. It's the renewing of the mind. It's the desire to fulfill the will of God. It's the humility that comes with following the Lord Jesus Christ. When someone slaps you across the face, you don't get angry. You turn the other cheek. It's all the grace of God that comes into your life. So all those, just those two points. One, that the rebirth that we have is a spiritual rebirth. And now it can affect all of our senses and our body for sure. And it does. But it's also, we see the kingdom of God, and we enter into the kingdom of God, not as something in the distant future, but as something that is here and now, all the days of our life, until we finally are glorified in the Lord Jesus. But here he makes it very clear that I was in verse 12, I'm talking to you about earthly things, and the earthly things involve the Spirit of God and the kingdom of God that you belong to, and that you have entered into in rebirth, and that you see and you're part of. So that's just that part of the teaching that I gave in church on Sunday. And then I read, and remarkable enough, it's John the Baptist in this same chapter. At the end of the chapter, you have John the Baptist again being questioned. And Jews and John's disciples arguing about purification in verse 25. And they come to John and say unto him, Rabbi, he that out purification in verse 25, beyond Jordan, to whom you bear witness, behold, the same, he's baptizing all men come to him. They're talking about Jesus now baptizing. Excuse me. John answered verse 27 of chapter 3 and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. He's giving testimony of Jesus. You therefore bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. He's talking about the church. He's talking about the church now. And he's kind of prophesying because the church hasn't come into being yet. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, talking about Jesus, John the Baptist saying, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthy and speaks of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. He's talking about the Lord Jesus. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifies, and no man receives his testimony. And John the Baptist realizes the same that I suppose he felt with so many that he baptized, and so many times when people came to hear him that they rejected his message. Verse 34, "For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand." He's talking about the Heavenly Father. Now, this next verse is phenomenal to me, because he's preaching something. I don't know where he understands this, where he got this from, but obviously from Scripture or from Jesus. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." He's preaching the gospel. "And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him." Now, this is John the Baptist, who's going to about as soon have his head chopped off and go to prison. But here he is preaching the gospel in chapter 3 of John. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." You might have read this and not realized that this is not Jesus speaking. This is John the Baptist speaking. And he's saying, "He that believeth on the Son of God has everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life." Now, obviously, if you go back to John 3:16, Jesus has been talking about these things. Because we read in that you must be born again, and we didn't go past verse 12, but he says that Jesus is talking that no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man. Wait there now, is this John talking or is this in Jesus talking, John? I'm asking John now about verse 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Is this John the Baptist preaching or is it Jesus?
No, that's the Lord.
So?
John the Baptist, as I read this, only kicks in towards the end, Pastor Fred.
Right. So did he get this message of on verse 36 from this this time when Jesus is speaking? Must have been soon after his baptism there. And because that's the gospel, isn't it?
It is the gospel. But remember, John the Baptist recognized Jesus when he came to be baptized. So he had knowledge of him before the baptism.
He had knowledge of Jesus, yes. They called him the Lamb of God.
Yes. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And then he said, "You baptize me." And he said, "No, for all righteousness, you must, you know, baptize me." And then John the Baptist also said, "I'm not worthy to, like, untie your shoes, the latch of your shoe." Remember? So he had knowledge of the Lord. It appears that it was serious knowledge.
And he had knowledge of the gospel, then, that he that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. Well, he must have, It's just interesting that those verses about John the Baptist come after Jesus has declared himself to be the Savior of the world, that the Father had sent him to be. It's a jam-packed chapter, John 3, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. Fast-moving, full of... There's a section there, Pastor Fred, that's really powerful about why people don't come to the Lord. You know, it's verses 18 through 21. It says, verse 19, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." So they love sin. They love sin, and they're going to stay with sin because they love it. They're not going to believe the truth. But they're going to, or not going to accept the truth because they love sin.
Amen. Amen. He have not believed. Yeah, it is. It's a comprehensive. In other words, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, there's an awful lot before it and after it
yes.
That can be preached. Yeah,
yes.
It's amazing.
Yes.
Okay, so he says that in verse 35, the Father loveth the Son. And I, just a quick little thing on which I transferred to in church on Sunday about a nation is only as good as its fathers, mainly because Mother's Day is next Sunday. And I don't know why, but the Lord kind of impressed this upon me that fathers have to acknowledge their responsibility and accept it. And if they do accept their responsibility, they get the authority. The Lord gives them the grace to have the authority. They need to humble themselves, fathers. And one of the things that a lot of preachers have said, a lot of famous preachers have said, my parents, the children of those famous preachers said, my parents never let us talk to them. And so fathers need to humble themselves. And one of the things that you get over and over again from preachers from way back and even today, I wish I'd have spoken more with my children, spent more time with my children. But fathers need to trust God for the grace to exercise their faith as the leader of the family, take more initiative, and become the honest leader. The whole idea of saying that a nation is only as good as its fathers is that a total failure as a father in God's sight is to fail in your home as a father is total failure, even though you may be a success as a golfer or a sportsman or a banker or a teacher or an author or an actor or a minister or anyone making money. Any other success cannot win over or could be compared to being a successful father with wife and children. 1 Corinthians 11 says, there's a verse there that talks about the order of the family. And it says, God is first. 1 Corinthians 11, see if I can get to it quickly. God is first. And yeah, here it is. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, talking about his head covering, but he's talking about the order. But the man, the father, represents Christ to his family. He has the same relationship to his family that Christ has to him. And a father, I'm not going to go into it, but a father has three main ministries, the priest, the prophet, and the king. The priest is the father, he represents his family to God. As prophet, he represents God to his family. And as king, he governs his family on behalf of God. So the father is a priest. He's responsible. He represents his family to God. And a couple of illustrations of that. But if he doesn't succeed as the intercessor, this first position, the father as priest, is linked closely to the other two positions. But he is an intercessor. He is a prayer for his family. One who prays for others is an intercessor. But specifically, a father has been given the job to pray for his family. You have that with Job. He was perfect and upright, fasted, had great fellowship with his sons once a week. They used to have parties, apparently. And at the end of the week, he would offer burnt offerings and worship. Well, we know that burnt offerings and worship in the New Testament is prayer and worship. Under the New Covenant in Jesus Christ, this is prayer and intercession. Every father is called to be praying for his children. The second illustration, which and then I'll end, is in the darkness of slavery in Egypt, the Passover lamb sacrificed made provision for every Israelite family to be delivered. The destroying angel went into every other house in Egypt, and the firstborns all died immediately. But in every Israeli home, with the blood of the Passover on the door, escaped. Now you get the teaching on that in Exodus 12:3, and just one verse. It says, you'll know the rest of the story, but the Lord spake unto Moses, verse 1, but verse 3 it says, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And I have a question on that verse. How was the lamb applied, the blood applied? Who applied it? In Exodus 12:3, the Lord had spoken to Moses to speak to all the congregation that they'll take a lamb for each house. But who was responsible in selecting the lamb? The father of each house, according to the house of their fathers, says the scriptures. Who was responsible for slaying the lamb? The father. Who was responsible for sprinkling the blood on the doorpost? The father. I mean, he could get others to do it, but he was responsible to make sure it happened, and he would be the leader in the family. In other words, the father had the position of God, appointed priest in his family, that God's provision of salvation was there in his particular home. It was organized, it was conducted and carried out for his family in his home, but no one else could really do it and authorize it or be the authority in it. As far as we understand, as scriptures reveal, if he fulfilled his function as priest in his family, but if he didn't, no one else could take his place and provide protection for his family. I believe that's so today, and it is the father's responsibility to provide divine protection for his home. Even in the ministry of Jesus, you'll notice that he always, if he dealt with children, he always dealt with a parent. And remember the father who came with his son who was possessed and would throw himself into the fire, and the angel and the disciples couldn't heal him. But it took the father's responsibility, because the Lord Jesus dealt with the father, and he wanted to know what his father's faith was, and his father had to exercise the faith. Jesus held the father responsible for his sons to exercise the faith. Jesus never exercised faith for a child except through a parent. The deeply held spiritual fact. You also have in Acts 16:31, remember when Paul and Silas were in jail and there was an earthquake and the jailer was about to kill himself. Paul led him to the Lord and you shall be saved and your household. So, and then you have many illustrations of this in scripture, but it was just an indication from the Lord, apparently, because the guy came up to me and said, that was just the right message from me today. The Lord really spoke. He has a son who's in jail and was thanking the Lord for blessing him yesterday through that message at church. So that's why I gave it. I felt the Lord wanted me to give it. So, Father, we thank you for your word. It's in so many wonderful ways. Thank you for the inscrutable, packed word, spiritually packed word in John 3. So many wonderful things. are in that. And then, Lord, thank you that you give to us pictures and illustrations that the father is the most important thing in the family, but he also is the most important thing in the nation. And we pray for our nation, Lord. We pray for our nation's fathers. Lord, bring them back into the leadership in the home, Lord. It's so desperately needed. We know that this nation will not survive. We thank you, Lord, for the leadership you have given us in politics and in, but Father, we pray for the preachers and the pastors. We pray for their families, but we also pray for the fathers in every household. Oh God, hear our prayer concerning the fathers. For we know, Lord, the way the fathers go is the way the nation will go. You've made that very clear through your word. We praise you, Father. We thank you and we bless you. Thank you for reminding us of these things. Thank you for convicting us through your Holy Spirit. We ask for fathers, Lord, to be fathers as they should be according to Scripture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, John.
Amen. All right. Interesting. John 3 is power-packed. It is a, and you know, I can remember years ago there when I first came to the Lord, you would hear a lot about John chapter 3, a lot of preaching about it, and ye must be born again. That was, people talked about that, and you don't hear it anymore now.
You're right. It's just scripture isn't shared. It's stories and, you know, emotional things. I don't know.
Yeah, but John 3 was, and I remember there was a brochure that was like the main brochure years ago, Ye Must Be Born Again. And then that was on the cover of it. And then there would be a salvation message there based on John chapter 3.
Right.
That was really
well, it's power-packed with word, with the word.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Pastor Fred. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Sharon, do you have any question or comment for Pastor Fred?
Yes, I do. And I want to say thank you very much for your teaching tonight on John chapter 3. And I'm going to be very honest here. I listened to all those stories that you were telling tonight, and it never really dawned on me that they were all out of the book of John chapter 3. But what a full book. What a wonderful set of messages, you know, that we must be born again. You know, we must be saved. And Jesus going around the country there and working on saving us and sending a salvation message out. And then with John the Baptist, knowing that all of this was going to happen, that Jesus was king, and just wonderful, just wonderful. And thank you, Pastor Fred.
Praise God. Praise God.
Yes, amen.
Okay.
Amen.
And let me see here. Sister Rita, would you like to comment to Pastor Fred about the teaching?
Yes, I would. It was a wonderful teaching, and I was well blessed by it. We really appreciate you coming in every Monday, Pastor Fred, to give us a blessing. So thank you.
Well, praise God. Praise God. Well, it's not, it's the Lord himself. If you've been touched in it, his word.
Yes.
And we always get something from his word all the time. And something new, you know. We read the same stuff over and over and again, and it becomes alive every time in a different way, in a wonderful way. And that's what the Spirit does in the kingdom of God today in our lives. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Amen.
All right. Sister Kathy, would you lead us in prayer for Pastor Fred, please?
Oh, yes. Father God, thank you for this mighty man of valor. Thank you, Lord, that you lead and guide us into truth. And Lord, your word is truth, and it is alive. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord. It just lives and breathes, and it is. It's just a new revelation every day. Thank you so much for Pastor Fred. Thank you that he's better. We just pray, Lord Jesus, for his church and his total congregation. We pray, oh God, for Nate and Kate and the other children. And just thank you that he is going to just talk to his children and share with his children even the more because of this teaching, Lord. And thank you that you are there speaking to us 24/7. We can hear you anytime. Just open the book of the Bible, and there you are, just shouting. Thank you, Spirit of the Living God. Bless Pastor Fred, bless Chaplain John, and bless everything that concerns them. And thank you that your goodness is everlasting and your truth endures to all generations. And Lord, just give us a glorious night's sleep. Wake us up refreshed and ready to win the world tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And Lord, we're all bringing before you Katie, Lord, Fred's sister, his daughter. And Lord, we're standing in faith about her recovering from the serious bout with cancer, Lord. And so we thank you, Lord, that we can bring her before you and stand in the name of Jesus. Lord, if there are any, there are remedies out there that are being touted, Lord, and I'm asking that if there's any, Lord, now that would be have a healing effect on her, that you would lead it to us, Lord. You would lead us to it, rather. And that could greatly aid her in recovery. So we thank you and praise you, Lord. Bless everything about Pastor Fred, all his children, Lord, his home, and the church, Lord. Thank you for Son of Riches Gospel Church. Yeah, and bless him as he speaks, Lord, on Sunday. And I pray a great move of the Spirit in that little church, Lord. Affect many, many, many people. Bless many, many, many people. So we praise you and thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Chieftain John. I really appreciate you. I appreciate you. And one day I hope to see you in full dress.
There you go.
Holding the staff. Praise God. Praise God what's happening all over the world through you. It's really amazing. Lord bless.
Okay. All right, Pastor Fred. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Bye now.
All right. Sister Kathy, any word on Rumble?
It's running now.
What can I say?
Nothing. Yeah, but thank God it's up and going. And there's 17 people there.
Oh, well, if anyone... go ahead.
It was running on Facebook, but...
Yes.
I can't get Facebook, but anyway, thank God it came on through.
Okay. Well, if anyone would like to pray with us, please call in 717-409-5553. 717-409-5553. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be prayer. If you have a testimony, if you want to share maybe a favorite scripture that the Lord may be giving you light on, anything like that, just call in and freely share. If you need prayer, you could call in also. And we'll start with Sister Sharon, And Sister Sharon, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Yes, I sure will. Be my pleasure. Dear Father God, I just thank you for tonight. I thank you for the day that you gave me today and how wonderful it was, myself and moved around, my dressing changed. I was visited by a hospice doctor, dear Father God, and he just was really a delight and everything, and he just very, very, very happy, and that made me happy, and it made Bobby happy, and we just thank you, dear Father God, for everything that we're doing to get through this situation. And I just thank you that I can open my mouth and pray. I can open my mouth and talk about you to people. And that has just always been very important to me. And I just thank you that now you're getting people coming to me so that I can pray with them and talk to them about you. And I remember that Gigi was always, her one big prayer was that people would come to her and stuff, that she didn't have to really seek them out, that you would just send them right to her. And that's what's happening here, dear Father. And I just so, so appreciate it. I love it. And I'm just so glad that I have ears to hear what is being preached and taught. And it's just very, very important that we as Christians remember that we still have to be quiet and appreciate what the next person is talking about and stuff. And it's one thing that's so good about the Father, dear Jesus, is that when people pick out a subject to talk about, it is always done very well. And so just like tonight with Pastor Fred in John chapter 3. And I just want to thank him again for picking that out for us to hear. And I also want to thank everybody that's in Abba Father for being here to listen and to pray. And Chaplain John says that, you know, we don't necessarily have to pray, but we can hear and listen. And just, I think a lot of times that when he knows how many people are here listening, that is just a big boost for all of us, really, for all of us. So I just thank you for that, dear Father God. And I just thank you again for hearing people pray and what that you can tell what's in their heart, dear Father God, and what they need. And I just, again, just say thank you, thank you. Thank you. In your name I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And it looks like we have a stray sheep, Sister Kathy. No Paula Jean. What do you think?
Well, I think we need to just call out the guard and send them over. Let's see, because it's not on Wednesday sometime. No, maybe Monday is her little Bible study where she comes in late. Maybe that's what it is.
Well, that's a good excuse.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. All right. Gigi and Randy, hello?
Yes. Gigi. Good evening.
Hello.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes. Hello.
Oh, okay.
I hear you fine.
Good. Yes. Great. So that was very nice. It's always nice to hear what Pastor Fred has to say. And the scripture comes alive when someone is teaching it like that. It comes alive, which I really appreciate.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got a very nice way of teaching. And you get a lot of word with him. You know, he does cover a lot of scriptures.
Yes, he does. So I was going to go ahead and I'd like to pray for he and his daughter and his church, but is there something else that you want me to pray for?
For me or him? For me?
Him and or you.
Okay. Wednesday I start teaching on discipleship and the broken heart. So I'd like, Wednesday night there, I'd like a lot of prayer. Now, the last time we prayed, I mean, Saturday went fantastic in Pakistan. So I think I told everybody here that it was several hundred came to Christ and lots of healed hearts and physical healings. And then they distributed 5,000 brochures and there was a request for 80,000.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So between India and Pakistan now, we're pushing like over 400,000.
How much does it cost them to print them?
In Pakistan, we can get them cheaper in India, but in Pakistan, if we're getting a large amount, it'd probably be about 8 cents a brochure, 8 to 10 cents. I'll tell you what.
Okay.
The price here in America has really gone up. I used to buy 5,000 brochures for $500. Now I ordered 4,000. And it cost me almost $1,000 for 4,000.
Wow. So
they're like 20 cents each. It's like double the price now. And it happened kind of fast. It wasn't too long ago. You know, the brochures were like $600 like that. All of a sudden, they almost doubled.
Well, that must be the costs have increased a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I am using high-quality paper. So I guess that's the big cost, I think, the paper.
Those are the color brochures, right?
Right, right, right. So, okay, we're ready for you.
Okay, great. Lord, we want to thank you and praise you. We want to thank you for your word and for the Holy Spirit that quickens your word in our hearts and our minds. And we pray that as we listen to the word of your word, that it would change our hearts, change our minds, change our direction if we need it, and draw us closer to you through the word. Because the word says if we draw close to you, you will draw close to us. So that's what we're searching for, Lord, is to be closer to you and to obey you more. And we thank you for this calling that you have on John and on Pastor Fred. And we just want to pray protection over everything that they put their hand to and that you would teach them and give them great discernment and knowledge of you that they can impart to other people. We pray a blessing on both of them. We do pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit over Pastor Fred's family and his church, and that you would draw many souls to you through his church. And Lord, we are grateful that he comes and teaches us, and we pray that it would bless him as well as blessing us. And we pray for protection over he and his church and his family. And we especially lift up Pastor Fred's health and strength. We also want to lift up Katie, and we're asking you for a miracle of healing, not just healing, Lord, but a miracle, so that it would glorify your name and it would be spread all over and it would draw people to yourself. And we also want to thank you for the wonderful response that you have given. I'm sorry, I'm a little congested. And the wonderful response in Pakistan, we pray a blessing on all of those people that came to you. And we pray that every brochure that was handed out would bring a multitude into your kingdom, Lord. We pray for protection and provision and discernment for Pastor Jamil and all of the Abba Father Fellowship pastors there and the team there. We pray the same thing over Pastor Zephaniah and his church. And we pray a special prayer of protection over Evangelist John. Thank you so much that you rescued him You rescued him, Lord. They could have killed him, but you rescued him in a miraculous way. And we want to continue to pray over those policemen that came and rescued him, that they would be saved and their families and the community around there. It would be a great witness. So we just want to pray a blessing over all of Abba Father Fellowship pastors. We pray over Pastor David and Bishop Reinhardt. We pray over Pastor Abel in Nigeria. And we just want to thank you, Lord, that we have this very unique position of really looking into what is happening in the world that we wouldn't have otherwise, if it weren't for John and his ministry. So we bless him. We bless all those things that have happened over the years that encouraged us and kept us on track to pray and hope and look for your coming, Lord. And I want to pray over everyone in the chat and listening. And I pray over Sharon and Kathy and anyone else who's on the line here, that you would provide for each one of us, Lord. You would encourage us. You would protect us, Lord. And we pray for our country. There's so much going on, and some of it's quite difficult to understand because it's so intricately put together in an evil way. But we're praying that you would have mercy on all of us, have mercy on our government, have mercy on our president, and have mercy on all the people that are trying to do the right things. And we're asking you, Lord, to remove the evil from our government. You can do that in ways that we cannot imagine. I don't want to tell you how to do it, but we've seen you do that. We saw you do that in the election. And Lord, we know anyway, no matter what good is being done, that we're living in the age of lawlessness. Have mercy on us, Lord. And have mercy on these outpourings. I know that they're happening in places like the UK and Amsterdam and Norway and even Austria. And we just couldn't even imagine that that's happening in those places, but it is. So bring forth great fruit there, Lord, and bless those people that are spreading the gospel. And we ask you for a continued outpouring over those ministries that are doing this. And we just want to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Yeah, wonderful prayer. Thank you.
Can I say one more thing?
Oh, you sure can.
We are eating pasta.
Now, do you have good olive oil with it?
Yeah, this is pasta con broccoli, which is broccoli, and then I got some very nice Italian sausage from another location, and it was very good.
You got to be careful with. You got to be careful with that Italian food.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, scungile. Yeah. You know what that is?
Yeah, I do. Yep. Yep. I've eaten that.
Ooh.
My father was a gourmet, so we ate everything.
Oh, scungile is squid. It's
Italian.
Squid. And tripe. The Italians are known for tripe.
Yep. We call it tripe. Oh. Anyway, yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Growing up with great food, I had really good cooks in my family, and I appreciate that a lot.
Did I tell you the story about going to the Italian Sunday meal when I was
no.
a kid? Yeah, I had the area I grew up in, not the immediate area, there was a tremendous amount of Jews. About half my school was Jewish. On Jewish holidays, it was closed. But right close around me, there were a lot of Italians. And let's see, Joe Leonti, Vinny Aimuno, Tommy Tarantino, Mark, what was his name? I can't think of it. Anyways, Joe Miniacci invited me to come over one day for Sunday dinner. And they were real Italians. Like, his grandparents didn't speak English, and his parents were, you know, his whole family were directly from Italy. So it was a big dinner table, I remember. It must have been at least 10 or more people there. Cousins came and all that. And Joe's mother was a real great cook. So the food is going around, and it gets to the main meal. And I said, Joe, I can't eat anymore. I can't eat anymore. He says, you got to eat. You got to eat. You'll insult my mother. And I was almost crying. I said, I don't want to insult your mother, Joe, but I can't eat anymore. I can't eat anymore. And then
they, pasta's only the first course.
Yes. Yes. So they had wine glasses there. And Joe's father was directly to my left. He was at the head of the table, and I was the first one sitting there. So I could, he was right there. So they came my glass with wine. Now, my family didn't really drink. So I looked at him, and everybody was looking at him, and he had the wine glass, the bottle of wine ready to pour. So he went, the father, he put his finger back and forth, meaning no, no. So they took my glass and they turned it upside down. I went home sick, physically sick. I ate so much, physically sick.
That's too bad.
They were used to it, but I wasn't used to the Sunday meal. But wow, it was tremendous food. And yeah. I said, Joe, I can't eat anymore. You got to eat. You'll insult my mother. No, Joe, I don't want to insult your mother. I don't want to insult your mother. Yeah, lots of Italians. Dayuto. Can't remember all the names now. All right. So there you go. I can go story for story about the Italian cooking and food. How's that, Gigi?
That's good, but you don't give me recipes.
Yeah. Boy, that was many, many, many years ago. Many years ago. Now we're up to Rita, Sister Rita. Hello.
Hello, Chaplain John, and hello to everyone out there.
Okay. So if you lead us in prayer, please.
Okay, will do. Father, I thank you for the day that you've given to me. I thank you for my salvation.
Yes.
And I thank you, Father, for dying for me when I wasn't worth it. And that you took me off a road of destruction and set me on a road of grace. And I thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for America, how you've been merciful to us in America, Father, and to America. Father, I pray that you would heal and forgive America, which we do not deserve. And I pray for a revival in America, from the East Coast to the West, and from the North to the South. And Father, I give you thanks for President Trump, that you have allowed him to be the President of the United States. I ask, Father, that you will protect President Trump and his family from the evil men and women of this world. And I pray, Father, that his love for you will grow and for your son more with each passing day. And I pray, Father, for the salvation of J.D. Vance and his wife. I think her name is Yusha or something like that. And I pray that they will come to the saving knowledge of your son. And also protect his children, Father, from the evil men and women of this world, and put your arms around them. and I pray for Elon Musk that he would come to the saving knowledge of you and your son, and that you would also protect him, Father, from the evil men and women of this world, and that you would protect his children, all of his children, from the evil men and women. And Father, I pray for Israel. I pray for peace for Israel, and that you would protect Israel. And I pray that Israel will turn away from her secular ways, and that she will turn to you and your son, has that the Jews in Israel would turn to you and your son, have their Savior, Lord, and have their God, Father. And I pray for the IDF, that the IDF will, I pray for the soldiers of the IDF, for all the young men and women that laid down their lives, that are willing to lay down their lives for their country. And I pray that these young men and women will come to know your son as their Savior, Father, before it is too late. And I pray for Netanyahu. I pray that he will come, that he also will come to the saving knowledge of your son, and that both him and his wife will, and that you would guide and direct and Netanyahu in the direction that you want him to take Israel, Father. Protect his family and Netanyahu from the evil men and women that wants to do them harm, Father. And I ask, Father, that you would also bless their marriage. And I just ask, Father, that that Netanyahu will come to know you and to love you and your son with all his whole heart, soul, and mind. And, Father, I sometimes thought that Netanyahu was saved. And I ask that you would show me if he is or isn't, Father, on this. And Father, I pray for Chaplain John, that you would guide and direct him in all that he teaches and what he writes. Bless his marriage to Nancy. Bless their marriage. And I ask and I give you thanks, Father, how you took care of Nancy when she fell. And I ask that you would continue to heal Nancy, and that her leg will get completely healed. And bless the brochures that are handed out, Chaplain John's brochures that are handed out or about to be handed out, that many people come to the saving knowledge of your son, and many hearts would be healed, Father. And I also pray for the Abba Father Fellowship pastors and their churches. I pray that you will, I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in these churches. And I pray that you would also guide and direct all the pastors in this fellowship, Father, in the direction that you want these pastors to take their churches. And I pray, Father, that you will protect these churches and the pastors from the Muslims in their countries, or from people that just want to do their churches harm just because they believe in your son, Father. I ask, Father, that you will bless Pastor Fred, encourage him and strengthen him and comfort his heart, Father. And if he still has a broken heart from his wife going home to you, Father, I pray that you would heal this broken heart. And I pray that you will have a revival, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in his church and in the community that he lives, Father. And I pray for Katie that you would heal her, strengthen her and comfort her, Father. And I pray that Katie will turn to you when she finds herself in despair, Father, from her, from what is wrong with her, that she would get her strength from you, and that you would heal her, Father. Father, I ask that you bless everyone that is in the chat room tonight on Facebook, in Uber, in Rumble, and that you would strengthen us all, Father, and encourage each and every one of us, Father. I pray this all in the name of my Lord, my Savior, my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you. And I guess, Sister Kathy, you're up next.
Well, I just want to say a thank you to missionaries and evangelists and people that hundreds of years ago that put God first and were walking on benefits and blessings that they prayed down. And so, Lord, I thank you for the people that trod the fields, that made the hard decisions, that stood the test and did not back up or cool off or flinch. And there's so many, God, so many that just absolutely weathered the storm, held back the hell, and we just thank you so much for them. And we thank you that there's such a good stock of workers now overseas and here abroad, and just work in the works of the gospel. I thank you for the mass baptism in California with Sean today or yesterday. And 5 years ago, they had gone there, and then now, these years later, and there's thousands of people being baptized. Thank you for that act of obedience. And Lord, we do pray for the fivefold ministry. There's just always a challenge, God, but there's always Holy Spirit, and there's always the Word of God. So we thank you that your Word is leading and guiding into all truth. And Father, people are waking up so many ways, and there's so many that are still darkened in their hard hearts. But thank you, thank you, thank you. You're given every opportunity for people to come to salvation, to come back to the Father's house. And that is such a blessing. The door is always open. The welcome mat is always out. The light is always on. And Father, that is just so wonderful. We thank you for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you have planned for us. And Lord, we thank you that the blessings of God are yes and amen. And you are just living and moving and having your being in us. And we are able to do exploits because of you. Thank you so much. Thank you for the love that is shed abroad in our hearts that others can see it, Lord. And we thank you that you draw us with cords of love. Your mercy is everlasting and your truth endures to all generations. Great is our peace if our mind is stayed on you. And Lord, that's the only thing our mind should be stayed on. So we just worship you in spirit and in truth, and we thank you for every good and perfect gift, and you daily load us with benefits. When I wake up in the morning, there's going to be new mercy all over me, and the good news is it's going to be over every living, breathing person in the world. So thank you that you are everlasting, and you're just blessing us beyond measure. So thank you. Bless Chaplain John. Bless the thing Wednesday night at My Shalom. Bless all the other endeavors that he'll be doing across the world, Lord. And just thank you that he's always thinking and stirring and moving. And tomorrow with the meeting in the morning, And just God, thank you. Bless Pastor Ernie, God. Bless Pastor Fred. Bless Dave and Willie. Bless Steve in Houston that does the devotions. Bless Michael and Robin in Houston. Bless Mary Mosley, Lord. Bless Steve in Long Island and Larry in Pennsylvania. Help him, Lord. Hadn't heard from him in a while. And we just pray for him and his ministry. So thank you, God. Your goodness is rolling all over us. Your mercy is all over us. And you are just directing our steps, ordering our steps. Our times are in your hand. And great, great grace is the mercy of our God and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Sister Kathy, what have you heard anything from Mary Mosley lately?
No, I haven't. Eve, you know, was able to get in contact with her here a while back, but we just told her we're here for her and we're praying for her, but we haven't made contact with her in quite a while.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, let me see here.
How about Joy? Tell us about Joy. She's there from My Shalom, and she's Oriental?
Yes, she's Chinese. No, Mongolian. Okay. She's from Mongolia.
Oh, okay.
But she was here, and she left, and she was here, and she came back, and now she's left. So I would have her ask if she wanted to pray next.
Bless her heart. Maybe she'll come back.
Well, I guess it is my turn.
Mm-hmm.
And here we go. Father, I thank you so much that we can get together here on Wednesday, Lord. We've been doing this for years, watching and praying for years and years, Lord. We thank you for it. And so much that we've watched and prayed for, Lord, has come to pass, but way more than we even prayed for. So we thank you, Lord. And right now, every time I speak, Lord, especially in Pakistan, well, no, it's in Kenya also, but Lord, they are requesting an enormous amount of brochures, enormous. And they said that the 666, they call it 666 brochure, was having a big impact on the Muslims because all of a sudden, Pakistan went from third world country to high tech. Everything is high tech now there. People have to have electronics, digital. That's the word. Digital ID and everything. Everything they do, they have to have it. There's surveillance cameras going up and all sorts of things like that, Lord. So when they read the brochure, it's literally they're in it when they read it. And there's nothing in the Quran, prophecy. So this here, it leaves them reading the prophetic word of God and nothing in the Quran. And it's really stunning them. This is what Jamila is telling me and the other pastors who have been handing the brochure out to the Muslims and the feedback he's getting. So it's really the prophetic word. I knew the prophetic, there was a time for the prophetic word, Lord. And now is the time between Israel and Jerusalem and heading to world wars and all of that, Lord. This is all right out of the scriptures in the end times. So I pray, Lord, that these brochures would go out in great numbers, Lord. Great numbers circulating through Pakistan and India, Lord. It's like a black hole in India, Lord. We could probably print a million in a month, and they'd all go out. The size of the population of India, Lord. And also how there's hunger now amongst the Hindus in India for your word. So we thank you for this, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for these open doors. And I ask for the supply of funds, Lord, that this could be filled. This need could be filled, Lord. It's exciting. It's just It's so exciting, Lord. Way, the brochures are way more exciting than books. They really are, Lord. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We just can't thank you enough, Lord. It's amazing things being done. Evil is so powerful. It is so entrenched, Lord. It is so vicious in all of this. And you just, like, push it aside. It's like you just nudge it, get out of the way. No, because you're moving. You're moving. The power of the Holy Spirit is moving, Lord. And I saw where there's some area of North Carolina now that's experiencing an outpouring, and they said that it was the same area that was really hit big by the great outpouring of the Second Great Awakening there with James McCready, Lord. It hit this area in North Carolina big, and now they're experiencing another move of the Spirit, Lord. And then there's 7,000 over the weekend that were baptized in one area of California, Lord, over 7,000. And there's just more reports from more and more places. Lord, they're springing up now. So I pray that this is a lead into a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Lord. The great outpouring, shaking the country, Lord, for your strengthening the people, Lord. The broken hearts being healed, strongholds being pulled down. Those that are oppressed of the devil being set free, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. And Lord, I thank you for what President Trump did. I guess it was over the weekend, Lord, where they had 100 pastors and church leaders at the White House, Lord, and they were singing hymns to you. It was about your holy. The one that we heard was about you being holy, Lord. Amazing, amazing. What I ask that was reverberating in heaven. I'd be happy if there were just like 100 pastors there blessing the president. But no, they were holding prayer meetings and praising you. So thank you, Lord. I pray this will destroy those principalities and powers. There's big ones there, Lord, in Washington. Big, 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 big ones. It's like a portal to hell there. And now you're moving in a mighty way and taking over that area, Lord, through your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for that. I pray that it's going to result. It's going to result a part of what's needed for the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit across America, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. What an exciting time. Now, Lord, things are under the radar, but really building with Iran. Iran is really just playing games about its nuclear program. It's developed a new long-range missile. Lord, they said that can evade American radar and missiles and all. But Lord, it's going to get ugly for Iran because it's of its hatred for your people Israel, Lord. I think you're going to take Iran out in a big way. Its legs are going to be cut out from under it. And Lord, you may, I haven't thought about this till recently, but you may be looking to destroy Shiite Islam. Very well. I mean, this here, Israel's attack on Iran, Lord, and just devastating. Israel can devastate Iran. And then if Trump gets in on it, Lord, President Trump gets in on it with the heavy bombers, destroying what Iran can't, what Israel can't. I mean, and there could be a civilian uprising against the Ayatollahs. Look, this could crack. I mean, the huge amounts of the youth are abandoning Islam. So, Lord, perhaps you will crack Shiite Islam, Lord, and just leave Sunni Islam. So amazing, Lord, the near future, what could be happening? But in any event, Lord, Iran's goal and the goals of these Ayatollahs is to destroy Israel and take Jerusalem. They've got a lust for Jerusalem, Lord, and killing all the Jews. And what they want to do to Israel was going to, we know it's going to be done to Iran, Lord. Then, Lord, we look over and we see China. And China's goal is world conquest. But, Lord, you said no. Right now, China's like literally dying, Lord. The population from its big cities is disappearing, Lord. People are going back into the country where they came from, Lord. The businesses are drying up, Lord, dying. No one can pay their mortgages, Lord. The banks are all in serious danger, Lord, the serious danger. The real estate conglomerates, Lord, have collapsed. And it's just everything's collapsing, Lord. And I believe, Lord, that this collapse is you destroying communism, Lord. The last vestige of communism is going to be destroyed, except for Harvard and the college campuses here, Lord. But any serious attempt to rule the country with communism is dying, Lord, in China now. Fast. Amazing. Lord, so we pray that you would destroy communism. And another vestige of it is North Korea. You would destroy the government of North Korea also, that is bent on killing and destroying and harming your people. And it would fall, Lord. And there would be a great time of revival in North Korea, a great time of revival in China, a great outpouring we've been praying for. He's going to sweep through China, sweep through North Korea. I hope South Korea too, Lord. And multitudes are going to come to you, Lord. Multitudes. This is exciting. But that monster of communism, Lord, is going to die. It cannot go into the tribulation period because it's paganism. The religion during the tribulation period is paganism. So communism is going to die. There's going to be a great revival for you, Lord, and the pagan religions of China will revive too. Shintoism and Taoism and whatever other pagan religions there, they'll spread fast, Lord. And China will go into the tribulation period as a pagan nation under the Whore of Babylon, Lord. So we are fixed, Lord, on the great outpouring here. Lord, I ask that you continue to uncover the evil that's here and stop it. I mean, we were literally poisoning the world, Lord, literally. And we repent of you before you, Lord. We're ashamed of what we saw, Lord. America was turning into the Whore of Babylon before. It was like a forerunner for the Whore of Babylon, Lord, but you stopped that. You're cutting away everything that could be used by America to promote evil, Lord, throughout the world. Thank you for that. Now we're going to promote the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Lord, where as a nation, Lord, unbeknownst to us, we were really promoting wicked sin funded by the federal government. And now that's all stopped, Lord, literally overnight. And now, Lord, let's saturate the world with the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. So what an exciting time, because you've arisen. And when in this situation, when you've arisen, you are a mighty man of war, Lord. They sang the song of Moses about you being a man of war. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, what a blessing, Lord. Thank you for blessing us way, way, way beyond anything we could imagine. And Lord, I do ask for President Trump's protection. Lord, based on what he's doing and knowledge of nothing else, these evil, murderous people in the left, Lord, they have murder in their hearts for him. I mean, holding like revivals in the White House, that's the worst possible thing they could imagine, probably. So we'll protect him, that their evil schemes will be exposed, they'll be crushed, and he will serve out the term, Lord, or he will go in the rapture, whatever, Lord. But we thank you, thank you, thank you. We praise you and thank you, Lord. I ask for your blessings on everyone in this ministry. Lord, I ask you bless our finances, Lord, that you open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon us, Lord, which we can't contain. It's so great. And that you rebuke the devil who would try and steal the blessing. That we'll be blessed and not stolen by the devil, Lord. He's bound in the blessings, Lord. Can't harm them. Can't take them away. Can't curse them. Thank you, Lord. And I ask that you stretch the funds, Lord. You know, that you take a dollar and stretch it out to $10 now. You bless the money. That's part of it, Lord. That everything we do is greatly blessed, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. And then, Lord, I pray you bless all our interactions, Lord, like family, work, social, Lord. I can't think of any other. But our interactions, Lord, you know, socially, at work, family, Lord. And if there's evil involved, Lord, like hatred against us, Lord, I ask that we do not deal hatred for hatred, but we live above hatred with your love, Lord. And that way there'll be no root of bitterness growing up in us whereby many are defiled. We will not be defiled before you because we live above it in love, Lord. So that's what we're asking. And that love will diffuse the opposition. It has, because they can feed off our reaction. And if we reaction is back with hate, then it supercharges them, Lord. Then, Lord, there's a lot that could be suffering in fear. So we're asking that your great peace, the peace that passes all understanding, shall assure our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we live above fear in peace. And then this situations we're in may trigger depression, Lord, with a feeling of hopelessness. There's no way out of it, Lord. Things could trigger mourning and sorrow and grief. And we live above all of that with your joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Thank you, Lord. And then we are our thinking, Lord, change our thinking. Renew the spirit of our mind. So we think on your coming. We think on the blessed hope, Lord, not the bondage in this world. We think of the blessed hope, and that will be in the New Jerusalem, and will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. So thank you, Lord. Thank you. And then, Lord, this world can drain your power out of us, Lord. So I'm asking that every day we're renewed with a great infilling of the Holy Spirit, a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Lord. So none of the world, Lord, that draining power of the world, none of it can drain an ounce out of us, Lord, because we live above it with the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord. We ask for your blessings on our health, Lord. There can be serious things, Lord, We know that the New World Order wants to exterminate, Lord, billions of people. Billions, Lord. And their first try really was COVID-19. Protect us, Lord, from it. Lord, protect us from it. I pray that each one of our immune systems would be supercharged, Lord, and be able to ward off any of these attacks, Lord, man-made disasters by Fauci and Gates and many others, Lord, that we're all supercharged in our immune system and we can handle it, Lord. That's what we're asking. And, of course, your power, the combination of your power and our supercharged immune system, Lord. These plagues will not come nigh unto us, Lord. So we thank you, thank you, thank you. We praise you and thank you now in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen and amen. So we'll go, the first shall be first. And the first is Sister Sharon. If you have anything more you would like to add to in prayer, please go ahead. And if if you'd like to choose a song, please.
Well, a song is always nice. And we dig up Don Moen and Our Father. I'd like to hear that a lot and stuff. And I just thank you, dear Father God, that we were able to come here tonight and to pray and to listen to other people pray. It is such a blessing. And I just want to pray for all who are listening, all who do want to pray. And it's just such a joy to hear people pray. And it's a joy to hear good music and the words and to understand what the words mean. As I know, dear Father God, that our time here on earth is coming to an end. And stuff, and we just all have to be prepared for the next step. The next step is going to be in heaven with our friends and our family, and if they're saved. So we have to make sure that our friends and family know you and that they are ready to spend eternity in heaven, because the other choice is awful. And I just thank you, dear Father, that we can spread this word and be together in prayer. And I thank you. And amen.
Amen. All right. I'm getting all this lined up here.
Thank you.
Don?
Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I forgot to thank you for sending me the video about the temple.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. I really appreciate that. And may I just ask one more question, because I don't want to forget. Randy wants to know from Kathy, I presume, how Mother Jones is doing, since we haven't heard from her.
Yeah, we have not heard from her, yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Thank you.
I don't know if I muted Sister Kathy or not. No, she's not here.
I'll text her.
Okay.
But thank you. Thank you so much for that film. I really like that. And Paula Jean wanted to see it too, so I sent it to her too. Thank you.
Okay. Gigi, did I send you just one?
It's the one it's the one that you did
right
teach on Ezekiel's temple. Quite a long time ago.
Right, right. But I found another one that was good. Not you like this one here because it turned. You could see like around and. But I found a third one that was good. I don't know if I sent that to you or not. But anyways,
I would like to see that.
Yeah. Okay. You're going to become an expert on the Lord's house there, Ezekiel. 43.
Yes. Well, I just thought it was interesting because they give the dimensions as they're moving around.
Right.
And then they give the scriptures.
Right.
And then they highlight the different parts of the temple that they're showing you.
Yes.
And I just thought, yes, it's so simple, but it was so good. It was very, very nice. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I was blessed by that also. All right, here we go. Our Father.
Here.
you. Thank you so much, Chaplain John.
My pleasure.
And
let me come back. And Sister Kathy's here. Paula Jean.
Right, and there's one more.
And Paula Jean is here. And
One more.
Corey Wood.
Yep, the wrong name.
Ariel.
Ariel, I saw Fort Myers, so I figured it was you. Hello.
Hi.
Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear your voice, so you guys.
Yeah, you come just in time for a song, if you'd like to choose one.
I have. Okay. Can I pray first?
I want to pray, please.
Okay. Father God, we thank you for bringing us together tonight. We thank you so much for Abba Father International Ministries and the fellowship it provides. We thank you for having a community to pray together, to go over joys, concerns, praise reports, health reports, health concerns, salvation reports, and salvation concerns. And we just pray to God for all the stony hearts out there, all the burdened hearts, and all the hearts with many strongholds on them, that the strongholds can be released, that you can send a person, place, name, or ministry or teaching that can soften his heart, that can speak to him unlike maybe some human can, but speak to him in a way that he can, and if you have to use us, we'll use the piece of technology, and we just pray for that. The first thing that's going to soften many hearts towards you, your hearts that are, they're just not turning towards you yet and nothing's working. And we pray for that thing, well, sent to you, Lord God. And we pray, Lord God, for those that need the blessed hope, that they can have the blessed hope and learn about the blessed hope and just feel that without feeling overwhelmed. And pray to you for all the joy. And we pray for those that have a strong hope on them, that there are many things and many different addictions, many different burdens and many different problems in today's day and age, that revelation times that we are in are going to keep revealing that. But once revealed, we can pray over it. So as it seems that we are in these hard and difficult times, and in time we speak of, we at least can pray away things because we are knowledgeable and have resources that we need to do and we need to pray for. And as it is brilliant of who we need to pray for. And we pray for the homeless, Lord God. We pray for those that are mentally ill out on the streets, those that don't have anything, let alone a sound mind to be able to gain a peaceful life or stable life, Lord God. We pray for this ultimate healing of their body, mind, and spirit. You know, certain cities like Philadelphia and Virginia and cities all over America that are similar to those places or growing to be similar to Arizona. We just pray, Lord God, that these places can have many shelters, rehabs, and appointed places that have many medical supplies and just supplies to keep people home, housed, and maybe getting back on their feet, Lord God, support for children and babies. And we pray for just ability to be able to enter many people's lives that need it, and stability for anyone seeking it that maybe grow up knowing it or don't have it anymore, Lord God. And we pray for, we just pray against any ill will or evil host out in America and the world, Lord God. We pray for against any murderers or people trying to inflict evil and spirited ways over our world and over Christian beliefs and over people gaining salvation. And we pray for all pastors and preachers and people, missionaries that are in other countries that are more dangerous than America and a lot more dangerous than the rest of the world. It's just time to preach the word. and teach people about Christ, Lord God. We pray for their ultimate protection and protection as we talk to others about Christ out in the streets and the grocery stores. And we pray protection of people at the abortion clinics, Lord God, people like Brother Larry, and just everyone out there doing Christ's work, Lord God. And we ask that you use us in any way possible, use our hands, our feet, our prayers, our words, just in any way, just any one of our children want to use by you. And thank you for just testimony and for using our testimonies to help soft heart and hearts and help speak to people who have been in similar situations. And we ask that many more people can keep continuing to come to Christ, Lord God, and be protected and have safety and stability in their lives. And we pray that those that would be changed by a teaching on this Rumble channel, that they can run into this Rumble channel and be just exploring, or whether they meet one of us and we tell them about it, Lord God. We just pray that it will speak to them or speak to whoever could use it. And I pray for healing, Lord God, for those who need it. When it comes to physical body and the emotional body, whether it be mental healing or physical healing, I pray for ultimate healing in my mom and healing over her, Lord God. I pray for ultimate healing over Gigi and Randy, Lord God, and any immunity issues they would have left over from the Lyme and immune disorders that humans have. And healing for anyone who needs it, Lord God, whether it be wounds or pain or emotional, spiritual damage and illness, Lord God. And we just thank you for washing away our sin, washing away our strongholds, washing away all the things that we've flipped through so much, and giving us a comforter and a in Christ to be able to come to during difficult days and during all days where it's not much going on at all. And I pray that we can all just ultimately be used by you, keep coming to you in prayer, and speak to someone this week that really needs you or that needs upright God. And we thank you for Captain John and his family, and ask for prayer and protection over him. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
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 You finished. Amen. It was a little. We had a little hard time hearing you. You were fluttering there, telephone connection. But yeah, I could hear enough to follow you. And you finished exactly at 10 a.m. How was that?
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
So please, we can't hear you too good. You're like fluttering, but please, come back. Be a regular again. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, we missed
you.
Yeah. I have bad phones this year.
Yeah. Well, what's your job now? What are you doing for work?
I'm still serving, and I have my real estate license, so I'll be getting back into that here shortly. But I'm serving at the restaurant.
All right. Well, God bless everybody. And it was nice to hear from Ariel. And we had a good night there with Pastor Fred teaching. We had good prayer. So God bless you. And tomorrow morning, we stream for prayer. I have the prayer meeting on Tuesday mornings. So we started regular time, but I don't stream. You got to call in 717-409-5553. Tomorrow night I will be back, and I will be working on putting together a special presentation about discipleship, starting with healing the broken heart, and then freeing the mind, and then God is our Abba Father. So I have some of it done. I'm kind of redoing it, putting things in a different order and putting some scriptures in, taking things out. And it's got to be within like 45, 50 minutes. So So hopefully I'll have it finished and then you can critique it for me. That's dangerous. It's always dangerous to have be critiqued like that, but it's needed. I could think it's the best, but if it's not reaching you, it's not doing any good. So, all right. God bless everybody and looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and everyone that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. God bless you, man.
O God of burning, cleansing flame,
send the fire.
Your blood-bought gift today.